Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good evening, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. This is the post-game wrap-up show on this Sunday night, December the 2nd, and the Miami Dolphins, they got a win 21-17 at home at Hard Rock Stadium against the Buffalo Bills to keep an outside chance of making the playoffs alive. We're going to talk about the game. I'm usually joined by Tom Ernesty here in the post-game wrap-up show, but he is really under the weather, and he does not have a voice at all, so I will be flying solo today. And let's get into the game. And yes, in the NFL, when you win a game, a win's a win. And the Miami Dolphins move to 6-6. They're still knocking on the door of the playoffs. They're still mathematically alive. But even though they won today, you know, the Miami Dolphins cannot be pleased with the product they put on the field. Just if you look at the stat sheets, total yards, the Buffalo Bills 415, the Miami Dolphins 175. The Miami Dolphins didn't even have 200 yards of total offense. Here's another stat that's really telling: yards per play, the Miami Dolphins 3.5. That, my friends, is embarrassing. And when you have under 200 yards of total offense and 3.5 yards per play, it means the other team did something to help you win. And what did the other team do today? Well, here's the Bills. 13 penalties for 120 yards. If the Bills only have 5 or 6 penalties, like, you know, most teams normally have in a game, they win this game. And even the Miami Dolphins, they had 8 penalties for 89. This was an ugly game. I thought one of the worst games I've ever seen played happened last month between the Miami Dolphins and the Jets at Hard Rock Stadium, where neither team scored an offensive touchdown. The only touchdown came when Miami scored on an interception that was ran back for a touchdown by Jerome Baker. That was the ugliest game I've ever seen. This one, you know, was only slightly better. This was two bad teams playing sloppy football. Yes, Miami won. Yes, they're still alive one more week. But if you think this team is going to win 2, 3, 4 more games and make a run at the playoffs, you know, I hate to be the one to be the wet blanket. It is not going to happen. This team in Miami right now is not good. And yes, they won today, but they won by the grace of God and only because the Buffalo Bills just committed, you know, penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty. And they also won because two former Miami Dolphins who now play for the Bills gave the Miami Dolphins a gift. First, Jordan Phillips is a clown. This guy, you know, he makes one good play in the backfield. Well, check that. He makes two good plays in the backfield in a row, and on one of them, he gets called for a personal foul. On the next one, he's so animated that the teammate had to take him off the field. And that's why Jordan Phillips is a joke. That's why Jordan Phillips is a clown. That's why Jordan Phillips is an ass. And that's why Jordan Phillips is no longer in Miami. That taunting penalty he got there helped Miami on that drive score a touchdown. So that's number one. Charles Clay, at the end of the game, you got to catch that football. You're alone in the end zone. I know you're coming back to the ball, but you got to catch that ball. And those two plays really helped the Miami Dolphins win this game. Because just the last play alone, if Charles Clay makes that catch, you know, they win the game, the Buffalo Bills. Okay, let's just call it like it is. But a win's a win, and Miami is 6-6, and they live to play another week. Like I said, the stats for this game are not pretty. Miami Dolphins total plays, 50. 50 offensive total plays. That's a sign that you're just failing on offense, that you cannot convert on third downs, you can't keep drives alive, and that you're just not even, now it's at the point where you're just not even getting yards. Because at for yards, 175 for Miami, 415 for the Bills. I mean, that the Buffalo Bills are one of the worst offensive teams in the NFL. I think they were ranked dead last coming into this game, passing offense-wise, and they had 415 yards of offense with a rookie quarterback against the Miami Dolphins defense. Third downs, Miami was 2 of 9. Again, embarrassing. Rushing first downs, Miami had 2. The Buffalo Bills had 10. Yards per pass, the Bills, again, one of the worst passing attack in the league. And a rookie quarterback, 6.2 yards per pass. The Miami Dolphins, with a quarterback who's been around since 2012 and a head coach who's a so-called offensive genius, 4.3. Not good enough. Rushing yards, the Bills, 198, almost 200 yards rushing. Miami, 60. Not good enough. Yards per rush, the Bills, 6.4. Miami, 2.6. I talked about the penalties. The Bills, 13 for 120. Miami, 8 for 89. They both stunk there. Time of possession wasn't a crazy split. The Bills did have the ball for about 5 more minutes than Miami. But this was a game in that the Miami Dolphins really did nothing on offense. And, you know, they somehow magically came away with a win. And they really only magically came away from a win because they played a team that is just, you know, not very good. One of the worst teams in the league. But let's get right into this game here and break down the drives. To open the game, the Miami Dolphins had a 10-play, 75-yard drive that ended in a touchdown pass from Ryan Tannehill to Devontae Parker. The key play on the drive was a rough-on-the-passer call. On 2nd and 5, Tannehill throws it short to Kenny Stills. Incomplete, but there was a roughing-the-passer call. Gave Miami 15 yards. Put Miami on the Buffalo Bills side of the field, kept the drive alive, and it ends in a Ryan Tannehill pass to Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker made a play. I think it's his first touchdown in 17 games. Devontae Parker, nice play on the touchdown. He's still not any good. hey, look, this podcast is off to a rip-roaring start. I know I'm being very negative, but honestly, what we saw today in the field from the Dolphins was not a pretty product, and I have little faith in the rest of the game. So if this podcast, yes, they won, is going to be mainly negative, you've been warned. So let's just move on. Then the Bills had 6 plays and punt. Miami went 3 and out. Not shocking. They went 3 and out and lost 12 yards in that drive. Unbelievable. The Bills, 3 and out. Miami, 3 and out. Then the Bills took a 9-play drive, 55 yards, which ended and a Zay Jones 15-yard pass from Josh Allen. They had a nice drive there for the Bills, which ended a touchdown, which tied the game. Well, it didn't tie the game because the extra point was missed. So Miami leads 7-6. Miami, they get the ball back. Shocking, 3-and-out punt. So then the Bills, 3-and-out punt. Miami, 5-and-out punt. I mean, the Miami Dolphins offense was just embarrassing, especially in the first half. Then, right before the half, the Dolphins do have a 6-play, 36-yard drive in 3 minutes. That did end in a Ryan Tannehill touchdown pass to Kenyon Drake. It was a slow-developing play, but Tannehill held on to the ball, Drake got open, sort of lofted a floater, and Drake caught it and ran into the end zone, which then put Miami up 14-6, and that was a score at the half. Coming out of the half to start the second quarter, the Bills opened up with a 10-play, 79-yard drive, which ended in a Hoska field goal. So the score is 14-9. Shocking. Miami, 5 yards punt. Bills, or 5 plays punt. Bills, 6 plays punt. Miami, 3 and out again. 3 and out where they gained 2 yards in 1 minute. I mean, how bad is this offense? Adam Gase. If anybody tells me Adam Gase is an offensive genius, I don't want to hear it. If I got to see Ryan Tannehill play again in 2019 for the Miami Dolphins, I might poke my eyeballs out with an ice pick. Literally, this offense is terrible. Don't give me the excuse of they have a lot of injuries. You know what? That is no longer an excuse, okay? It really isn't. And I think a lot of people are getting sick and tired of hearing about it. You know, a lot of teams have injuries. The Miami Dolphins aren't executing. Okay, this isn't about lack of injuries. This is about lack of execution, especially at the skill position where guys aren't aren't totally on the balls. The offensive line, Jesse Davis is terrible. And that's not an injury because he's been the starter since day one. Jesse Davis was terrible today. He was beaten so many times. Oh, my God. I lost count. I mean, this team just isn't very good on offense. And the quarterback is not the type who can put it on its back and lead it to and just sort of drag teams to a victory. But I digress. After that, the Buffalo Bills had the ball, and Josh Allen was then intercepted on a beautiful play by Xavier Howard. But on the next play, Miami gave it right back. Ryan Tannehill on his first play goes long, and he is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Then this game gets somewhat interesting here at the end in the fourth quarter. As Miami is up 14-9, the Bills on a six-play, three-minute drive, score a touchdown on a Zay Jones pass from Josh Allen. Scores a touchdown on the two-point conversion. Josh Allen finds Zay Jones again, and the Bills jump in front 17-14. Miami answers on a six-play, 75-yard drive where Ryan Tannehill throws it up in the end zone to Kenny Stills, who jumps up into double coverage and somehow came away with the football. A beautiful play and a beautiful touchdown for Kenny Stills. Miami jumps in front 21-17. Then the Bills have an eight-play, 38-yard drive in which their place kicker, Stephen Hochka, missed a 55-yard field goal. That was essentially, that really hurt the Bills there, that field goal. No good, wide left. Miami, shocking, three and out, punt. And then the Bills, at the end of the game, seven-play drive, which ended in an incomplete pass in the end zone to Charles Clay, which if he would have caught it, probably would have won the game for the Bills, as it would have just left Miami about 1 minute left and probably not enough time to score the way the Miami Dolphins offense was working. So, again, a ton of punts in this game for the Miami Dolphins. What's the exact number? I got to get the exact number here. Matt Hawk had seven punts. Seven punts. Again, you have 175 yards of total offense and seven punts. Something is wrong with this. And this is the Buffalo Bills, folks. Okay? The Miami Dolphins today, they didn't play the Rams. They didn't play the Chiefs. You know, they didn't play Pittsburgh. They didn't play the Saints. They didn't play one of the elite teams in the league here, which you could say, wow, they really struggled. I sort of get it. They played one of the best teams in the league. This is the Buffalo Bills who came into this game at 4-7. They were 4-7 for a reason. And, you know, it's a game where you take the win, but next week Miami will be a home against the New England Patriots, who looked absolutely dominant on Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. And it's like Miami has no chance. Miami has no chance to win next week against New England. Tom Brady, if Josh Allen throws for 231 yards and two touchdowns against the Miami Dolphins, he has no wide receivers to throw to at all. None. Okay, I mean, Zay Jones is his top guy, and Zay Jones is mediocre at best. Tom Brady's going to come in here with Gronk, Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, and he's going to throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns in the first half. The Miami Dolphins are going to be unable to keep up with the New England Patriots next week. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, what are the Dolphins going to do on offense? This is now 2 weeks in a row here where the offense has done literally nothing since Ryan Tannehill's come back. Ryan Tannehill, you know, yes, everyone's going to look at three touchdowns. Oh, he threw three touchdowns. He was 16-24 for 137 yards. He averaged 5.7 yards a pass. Again, part of it's on him, but part of it's on the head coach. They're not moving the ball down the field. I don't know if it's because his arm is really not even close to 100%, so they're trying to keep everything, you know, within a 10-yard radius on his throws. That might be it. The other thing is maybe there's no faith in the offensive line holding a block long enough for him to throw it deep. That might be part of the factor. And the other factor is just they're not good enough to push the ball down the field. The Miami Dolphins are getting very few chunk plays. At the start of the year, when Jakeem Grant and Albert Wilson are out there, they're getting big plays and chunk plays. That is not happening anymore. And this offense is just not very good. The ground game today, also something that's been, you know, pretty good of late, and Frank Gore's been running the ball really well. Today, not so much. Frank Gore, 8 rushes, 21 yards, 2.6 yards a carry. That is not good at all. Kenyon Drake, 7 carries for 31 yards. You know, That's not much. And out of the 7 carries for 31 yards, 20 came on one play. They take away the one play, not really take it away, but 20. So he had really 6 carries for 11 yards, and he had one great run. So the running game was not there. Receiving wise, you know, Tannehill on the few passes he did complete, spread the ball around. Nothing spectacular there. Parker 4 for 43. Stills 4 for 37. Bryce Butler 4 for 25. Drake 2 for 13. I mean, so he spread the ball around. But again, there's just no big plays, no plays that are exciting. And when you end the game with 175 yards of total offense, you know, 9 weeks out of 10, you're going to lose. And Miami today caught a huge break. They played a team who is just not very good. And at the end of this game, there was a lot of debate I saw online. I've been getting flooded with emails and stuff about Josh Allen. And a lot of people are ripping him. A lot of people are putting praise on him. And here, I will tell you where I stand. If you asked me today, if I had a game to win, who would I rather have, Josh Allen or Ryan Tannehill? I'd rather have Josh Allen. And yes, the kid's raw. He's very raw. But there's something there with him. He's very raw, and his accuracy is an issue. But the kid is big. He's strong. He's got a gun for an arm. He was 18 for 33, 231, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You know, that's not great, but for a kid who's a rookie, and he did miss a bunch of games this year, I mean, that's not bad. But on the ground, 9 rushes for 135 yards. He's smart enough to know, and this is something that takes quarterbacks time. It took Tannehill a good 3 or 4 years to tuck the ball and just run. And as a rookie, Josh Allen knows if nothing's there, tuck it and run. And he ran with a ton of success. Easy for me to say. He ran the ball with a ton of success today. 9 carries, 135 yards. 135 yards on the ground, 231 in the air. This guy had almost 400 yards by himself, and he's really not that good. What do you think Tom Brady's going to do next week? What do you think the Vikings are going to do the week after? So the Miami Dolphins here come out with a win, but it's a win you really can't feel that great about. I mean, I don't. I still think Miami will be on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs. They did get a ton of help today. They did, looking around the league. You look around, Cincinnati got drilled at home by Denver. You got the Browns. They had an outside chance. They're now done. They're off. They're out. Indianapolis lost 6-0 to Jacksonville. The same Indianapolis team that found a way to score 2 touchdowns in the final 8 minutes of that game last week gets shut out 6-0. The Ravens, they won. That's the one game that didn't go in Miami's favor. What else? So, I mean, they caught some breaks today with Cincinnati losing, Indianapolis losing, and the Miami Dolphins at 6-6. They're not, you know, they're knocking on the door of the playoffs. The problem for Miami is right now, they're just not playing good football. It's just ugly football. And the performance that they put out this week is not going to win most weeks. It's just not. And next week, you're getting a Super Bowl caliber team coming into your building who's got all the weapons on offense, who's got a Hall of Fame head coach, who's got a Hall of Fame quarterback, who's got a Hall of Fame tight end. And they're going to come in, and I don't know how the Miami Dolphins are going to stop them at all. And once the Patriots get up to, you know, 17, 20, 24 points, I think the Dolphins are done because they're not going to be able to keep up with them offensively. They just don't have the players right now, and they don't have a head coach who, you know, I really question what he does. I mean, it wasn't as bad as last week, but there was a drive. Let me see if I can find it. It was a 3rd-and-1. A 3rd-and-1. Now, at the end of the game against the Colts, we said, you know, you got your eggs all in the Ryan Tannehill basket as a head coach and Adam Gase, and as an organization with the Miami Dolphins who've been telling us, since 2012, he's our guy. He's our guy. He's our guy. We don't need to draft anybody else. He's our guy. We're not going to get anybody else. He's our guy. But we still don't know, and we want to see more. So at the end of the game against the Colts, which has been talked about to death, you know, 3rd-and-10, backed up near the goal line, tie game, everything. You know, this is your season here, and he turns and hand off to Drake, and it showed no faith in your quarterback in this game. I forget exactly when the drive was for the Dolphins. They had a 3rd-and-1. Where was the third and one? Let's see here if I can find it quick. If not, doesn't really matter. They had a third and one, and they ran a wildcat. I mean, you got, once again, a big game, because Miami's still mathematically alive. This is a big game. And the Miami Dolphins, on a third and one, you know, you got your quarterback on the field. They not only take the quarterback out from under center, they put a third string, running back in to run a wildcat. I don't get it. On third down, that's the play you're going to call. That's the play you're going to call on third and one in a game. You know, you must win to keep any hope alive of making the playoffs. It's just head-scratching beyond belief. It really is. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, are you trying to win the game? Are you trying to win the game? And sometimes with Adam Gase, you know, we talk about it a lot. He's just too smart for himself. He is just too smart for his own good. You got your starting quarterback out there, and that's the play you run. I don't get it. And if that was just the only time that we've seen something like that, you just let it slide. No big deal. He's trying something new, whatever. But we see this week after week after week. But, hey, look, they won the game today. They came out on top 21-17. They're going to have to play them again, the Bills, week 17 in Buffalo, in Orchard Park. That should be something to see. But I don't know. For a game ball, I will give it to Xavien Howard. Xavien Howard today, two interceptions. Xavien Howard is not even close anymore. He's the best player on the Miami Dolphins. For a while there, some people would say it was Wake or Rashad Jones. It's Xavien Howard. And I hope the Miami Dolphins pay this man this offseason. Don't let him play out the final year of his contract. Don't let him be one of these guys who's angry with the organization, who's going to play in 2019, you know, pissed off at the world because he doesn't have a new contract yet. He's a guy you want to keep. You know you want to keep him, so pay him now. You don't have to pay him in season. You can wait till after the year. I get it. But you pay him now because you don't want this to drag out and be one of those things that we see, you know, that we've seen with Landry, that we've seen with Olivier Vernon, and stuff like that. That is not what you want to see. So hopefully Xavien Howard gets paid this offseason. Give him an extension. After the game, he says he believes he is the best cornerback in football. It's tough to argue with him because the stats do back it up. And when he was drafted, if you want to go back and listen to our archives, now I'm going to pat myself on the back for a second. When we drafted him a few years back, after watching him a few games into that first year, when he was still a bit raw, I said, this kid's the real deal. I said, this kid's going to be one of the better cornerbacks in the league in time. And I didn't even think, and look, I was heaping praise on him when nobody was heaping praise on him. But even I'm shocked he's gotten to this level. He is at a level that very few players get to. And Miami's going to have to break the bank for him to keep him. He's going to be paid as one of the higher paid. He will be the highest paid cornerback in the league, but he might be one of the highest paid defensive players in the league. Now, probably not as much as someone like Aaron Darnold or J.J. Watt. Not quite that level, but he's going to be, and it's going to cost money. And the Miami Dolphins are going to have to move around a lot of contracts. They're going to have to say bye-bye to a bunch of people to make the necessary salary cap space to be able to keep him. And I think that's why guys like Devontae Parker, $9 million you can free up right there. Goodbye. Juwan James, another $9 million you can free up there by not even trying to re-sign him. Or unless you want to work out, which they would have to obviously work out a long-term deal to keep him at a substantially lower per year salary. Tannehill, if you do a post-June 1st cut, opens up $18 million after June 1st. And that could be the money right there that they sort of designate to keep Xavien Howard. Because if you're asking me in 2019, would I want to see Ryan Tannehill back and have Xavien Howard in limbo playing out his final season? The answer is no. I would like to see Xavien Howard locked up this year, and I don't want to see Tannehill anywhere near the Miami Dolphins next year. Again, today, they won 3 touchdown passes, played okay, but moving forward, it's time to move on. That is clear. This performance we saw today, it's just not good enough, folks. It's not good enough. And yes, he's missed a bunch of games this year. Yes, right now he's playing at less than 100%. But overall, the 2018 season for Ryan Tannehill has been a disappointment. He's just been blah. Not very good. He hasn't been bad, except for the Cincinnati game, really. And the Patriots game. Those games, he was bad. But aside from that, he's just been blah. You know, the typical 200 yards, couple touchdowns. Say 137, few touchdowns. Okay, not making plays. He's not converting third downs at a high level or at a positive rate. It's just nothing there. And again, some of it's on a head coach. That's why he might be gone too. So he might be gone too. But this offense is just a disaster. And we'll see how it moves going forward. Next week, they got the Patriots. You know, it's a big game. Once again, this game is sort of like the Colts game. Because really, they're still alive, Miami, at 6-6 for the wild card spot. I don't think it's possible. But mathematically, they're still alive. So next week's game, once again, just like the game against the Colts, really bit of a de facto playoff game. Because if you go to 6-7, that means you're going to have to run the table winning games at the Vikings, home against Jacksonville, who just shut out Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck's been putting up 20-plus points a game for about, I don't know, all year, and throwing 3 or 4 touchdown passes a game since, you know, like October 1st, and the Jacksonville Jaguars shut him out. If the Jaguars shut out Andrew Luck, what the heck do you think they're going to do against this crappy Miami offense? So, you're Miami, you got to go to the Vikings, you got to go home against Jacksonville and play that defense, and then you're going to end the season at the Bills, who today committed 120 yards of penalties and still almost won. They were a drop pass away in the end zone from still beating you. They gave you 120 yards of gift yardage and penalties, and they still almost won in your building. So, pretty much a loss to New England will end the season. I think it's over already, but I'll play along. And a loss to the Patriots will end the season. And so next week's game, you know, Miami, if I'm Adam Gase, and I know he won't do it because he's a stubborn son of a bitch, it better be all hands on deck. Have a couple creative plays on offense. I don't know. Try something new, because what you're doing week after week isn't good enough when you're getting 175 yards of offense. You know, try a reverse. Try a halfback pass. Try something. Get a spark. Open up this offense. You got nothing to lose. You're not getting points. You're not getting yards. Try something. And we'll see next week. We will see, because that's a big game next week. And we'll see what the Miami Dolphins can do at home against the hated New England Patriots. If the Patriots win next week, they clinch the AFC East. And, you know, we're probably going to have to sit through the Patriots, you know, celebrating in the locker room of Hard Rock Stadium. Their, you know, 10th straight or 9th straight AFC East title in a row. So that's the one thing that should be motivating Miami next week. Don't let the Patriots celebrate in your building. You know, they're going to win the AFC East regardless, but let them celebrate the following week. Don't let them celebrate in your building. We'll see how the Dolphins do. I don't have a lot of hope, though, but we'll see how they do. So I know this is a bit of a shorter post-game wrap-up show as Tom is under the weather. Wish Tom all the best. Hope he gets well soon. He'll be back with me next week to break down that Patriots-Miami game on the post-game wrap-up show. We'll have shows all week. We'll be joined by Antoine Staley like we are each and every week, and I am working on a couple interviews as well. We'll see who we can get on the podcast this week to talk about the Miami Dolphins and what's going on. As always, check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. A bunch of new articles and videos are up there, as well as follow me on Twitter at dolphinstalk if you want to send me an email. Some of you guys are old school. I know not everyone is on Facebook and Twitter, and many of you have heard about our podcast on, you know, WQAM or Sirius XM NFL Radio or 790 Ticket, and you've heard about us that way, and you might not be into social media. I get it. Trust me, not all Miami Dolphins fans are on social media. If you want to reach out to me via email, I can be reached at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. Again, dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. Once again, the Miami Dolphins with a win, 21-17. It's not pretty, but in this league, you don't have to apologize for a win. A win's a win. And like I said, I know my podcast, it was pretty much, you know, 99% negative. but it's tough at times to be positive when you saw the sloppy play that was on the field today by the Miami Dolphins. And again, if they had to play almost any other team, they would not have won today. They got a bit of a gift, but they'll take the gift, and they are now 6-6. And just think, if they wouldn't have choked against Cincinnati and Indianapolis, this team would be 8-6 and almost a lock for the playoffs. Really, with as bad as they played, if they would have just held on to double-digit leads against Cincinnati and the Colts, and just held on, just don't turn the ball over and don't be dumb, essentially, they would be, they'd be what right now? No, they'd be 8-4, actually. 8-4 they'd be right now, and a virtual lock for the playoffs in a wild card spot, but that's not the case. They're 6-6, still on the outside looking in, but they do live to fight another week. So, I'd like to thank everyone once again for listening, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.